Welcome to the weekly Dharma Talk podcast from the Columbus Karma Teksum Choling Buddhist Meditation Center. This week's talk, given by Lama Kathy Wesley, is entitled, How Do We Pray When Our Teacher Passes Away? Buddhist teachings say that our spiritual masters are essential to the purification of our negatives and the ripening of our virtue. But what do we do when our spiritual master passes away? This talk describes the practice of Guru Yoga and how our teacher can be available to us even beyond this world. If you like our Dharma Talk series, please consider donating to Columbus Karma Teksum Choling at columbusktc.org. Enjoy the podcast.
So, good morning, everybody. Thank you for being here. Thanks also to all of the volunteers who helped us get organized this morning and stay organized mostly. I'm the only one that kind of fell down on the job. Anyway, but thanks to all the volunteers who help us at the front end, at the front desk, as well as the people who lead the chants, lead the meditations, and help out on the administrative board. So just want to say a word of thanks to all of them for creating the container and you for coming and being here with us and bringing your sincerity to us. I always say that if we think that this place feels good, I think that the reason it feels good is because everybody brings their sincerity to this space. And so that's why I often begin my talks by thanking everyone for bringing their goodness to this place, because everybody has energy of some kind or other. Some mornings we have more energy than others, and some days our energy is more positive than others. But even if you are not feeling positive today, I'm glad you're here anyhow. So thank you for coming and being with us today. I'm going to give a short talk today on the topic of teachers in the Buddhist tradition, the role that teachers play in our Dharma life, and how we can relate to teachers. Because as many of you know, in Buddhism, the Buddha was our first teacher, our original first teacher in this era. The historical Buddha, Shakyamuni, he was our original teacher in this era, but he is not with us right now physically, so he left behind his teachings, which we call the Dharma. And because it's sometimes difficult to follow a guidebook without a guide to go along with us, we also have the Buddhist Sangha of teachers who are our guides and fellow practitioners who are our companions along the road. And so these three, the Buddha, his teaching, and the assembly of practitioners, are called the three jewels. And we take refuge in them because the Buddha's teachings say that this world that sometimes is called samsara or cyclic existence has the characteristic of suffering. And if we remember the Buddha's teaching on the Four Noble Truths, the Buddha's teaching was that suffering is part of our life here in samsara, and that suffering has a cause, which is a clinging and fixation. We cling to things and people, and we fixate on things, people, places, situations, ideas. We fixate on so many things. And as the modern Buddhist teacher said, if something hurts so much in my life, it's because I'm holding on to it so tightly. And so this second noble truth, that clinging and fixation is the cause of suffering, was a revelation back 2,500 years ago when the Buddha lived in India. And for many of us, it is still a revelation 2,500 years later here in other parts of the world. Many of us don't see the role of suffering in our lives and see how sometimes Even though we don't mean to, we create our own suffering through our clinging and through our fixation. And so even just understanding the mechanism of how clinging can lead to suffering and encourage suffering and keep it going, even just knowing that can be a cause for freedom. And understanding this, we can work toward our freedom from suffering. Because if suffering has a cause, which was explained in the second noble truth, that the cause of suffering is clinging and fixation, then suffering logically has a solution. And the solution is to relinquish or let go of clinging and fixation. But you can't just say to a suffering person, oh, just let that go. That doesn't make sense. We have to show them the way. We have to show them how to let go of suffering. And therefore, the Buddha also taught the fourth noble truth, which is the path that leads to the end of suffering and the relinquishment of clinging. And to summarize this path, the Buddha gave four statements. He said, do no harm whatsoever, meaning don't harm yourself, don't harm others. Practice virtue as much as possible, which means to take care of yourself and benefit others. And tame your mind through the practice of meditation. This is the teaching of the Buddha. This was the fourth statement. So these four statements, do no harm, practice virtue, tame your mind. This is the teaching of the Buddha, is a brief summary of the fourth noble truth, the path that leads us away from suffering. We can understand how doing no harm helps us to relinquish clinging. Because if we can even let go of one thing that we cling to, even just a little bit, we can gradually and slowly begin to let go of other things and cause less harm to ourselves and less harm to others. Secondly, if we do beneficial things for ourselves, taking care of ourselves and benefiting others, it also shows us how to let go of clinging, in that we learn how to put others first, and we learn how to take care of ourselves in the proper constructive way. And taming the mind through the practice of meditation, well, taming the mind is how we're going to be able to gradually tell the difference between harm and benefit. Because how do we know? At first, it's hard to know what is harm and what is benefit. But if we practice meditation and get to know our minds, then gradually we will be able to discern and know what causes suffering and what causes happiness. And we would abandon those things that cause suffering and take hold of those things that cause happiness. So that's a little bit about the basics of Dharma. And next I'll talk about the role of teachers and how teachers help us in learning the Dharma. We often begin with a prayer. This one will be called the Prayer of Taking Refuge. We'll recite it in English one time. If you don't have a copy, you can look on with your neighbor. This is a good way to meet people. Yeah. You have? Yeah, okay. We'll recite it one time in English. In the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Assembly Most Excellent, I take refuge until I reach enlightenment. By the merit of generosity and other good deeds, may I achieve enlightenment for the sake of all beings. Okay, thank you. Now I'm going to recite a short prayer in the Tibetan language, praying to my teacher, and then we'll talk a little bit more about what that is. O palin sawe lama rinpoche tagi chi war pe de den shula kadrin jembo gone che sun te ku sun tugging a trup sal du so. Okay, thank you. When we were talking a minute ago about the Four Noble Truths and then the Three Jewels of Buddhist Refuge, as you see from this prayer, it says, in the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Assembly Most Excellent, I take refuge until I reach enlightenment. By the merit of generosity and other good deeds, may I achieve enlightenment for the sake of all beings. These words indicate some of the path for us. We take refuge in the Buddha as our teacher, and the Dharma as our path, and the Sangha as our guides and companions. We take refuge in them the idea of refuge means that in samsara we experience suffering and we feel we need refuge or protection or relief. And so when we are lost and searching, we can take refuge in the Buddha because he actually transcended the sufferings of this world. He actually did it. He actually accomplished awakening from the sleep of ignorance about samsara and was able to help and lead others to relinquish suffering and its causes as well. So he is our ultimate refuge. But since he's not here, we use his teachings, the Dharma, in order to show us the way, and the Sangha and the Sangha of the both types of Sangha, the awakened Sangha and the ordinary Sangha, we have them as our protectors and guides as we're trying to walk the path that the Buddha walked. So that's a little bit about what refuge is. Now, interestingly enough, there are two main vehicles in Buddhism. The vehicles that are called sutra, yana, meaning yana means path or vehicle or method, and that which is called tantra yana. Sutra yana are the two paths that follow the Buddha's actual words, the sutras of the Buddha. The Buddha, while he was alive, he taught publicly for 45 years, and a great number of scriptures were eventually written down after his death that comprised his teachings. The earliest of these teachings are in the Pali language scriptures, and the later of these appeared in Sanskrit. And so these inform the two yanas that are common to all paths in Buddhism, the Hinayana and the Mahayana. In the Hinayana, we practice meditation, good ethical conduct, and loving kindness. And in the Mahayana, we practice meditation, ethics, loving kindness, compassion, and an understanding of wisdom. And so in these two yanas, the Hinayana and the Mahayana, we practice being kind to ourselves and being kind to others. We practice meditation and understanding of how the world is and the Four Noble Truths and so on. And in this yana, the role of the teacher is to teach us about the Four Noble Truths. The role of the teacher is to guide us in ethical behavior. And the role of the teacher is to help us to understand loving kindness. And in that's in the Hinayana. In the Mahayana, the teacher has the role also of teaching us about wisdom and emptiness. So the teacher is very busy in both of these methods of Dharma and both of these methods of Dharma practice and study. So the teacher has a lot to do. So we turn to the teacher for advice, and we turn to the teacher for guidance, and also for help in practicing Dharma ourselves. In the Tantrayana, the role of the teacher is even more important. This is because the methodology of the Tantrayana is different from the methodology of the Sutrayana. The Sutrayana is very gradual. One gradually uncovers one's basic Buddha nature. Because the Buddha taught that every being has a mind, and that mind has the potential to know itself and wake up to the truth. And each being, every being in this room, has the potential to become a Buddha. And this potential is called Buddha nature. And so in the Sutrayana, the Buddha nature is gradually uncovered by purifying our negativities and increasing our virtue. So it's a gradual path. The path of the Tantrayana, on the other hand, relates to our Buddha nature directly through empowerment, mantra, and the practices of what are called liberation through meditation. These practices of the two paths, the path of liberation and the path of skillful means, require a teacher's instruction because they relate directly to our Buddha nature, not as a potential, but as a fully ripened result. Let me give you an example. in the path of skillful means in the Tantrayana, one would imagine that above one's head is a shining Buddha or Bodhisattva, such as the compassion Bodhisattva Chenrezig. One would imagine that that Buddha is present with one, and that one then supplicates that Buddha, and then imagines that light comes from that Buddha and purifies of us of all of our negativity, and that we are then blessed by that Buddha, and we become that Buddha for a short period of time while we recite the mantra, the compassion mantra, Om Mani Padme Hum. And so in this way, we relate to our Buddha nature symbolically as a fully awakened Buddha might be by associating our self-identity for a short period of time with the identity of being an enlightened being. And so, as you can see, this technique has some merits, because instead of just seeing our Buddha nature as a potential, we actually engage with our Buddha nature symbolically through visualizing a Buddha or Bodhisattva, and then interacting with that Buddha and Bodhisattva, receiving a blessing and then becoming that Buddha or Bodhisattva ourselves. And then at the conclusion of the meditation, we dissolve the image of ourself as the enlightened Buddha or Bodhisattva. We dissolve that into utter emptiness and rest our mind in its basic nature. These techniques have been used for 1,000 years and longer. And these techniques help us to understand, realize, nurture, and bring out our Buddha nature. That's why the Tantra path, sometimes called Vajrayana, sometimes called Mantrayana, sometimes called Tantrayana, is called the quick path, because it works with our currently established Buddha nature. It's within us, and we begin to work with it as though we actually have it. I remember when my teacher told me the first time that all of you in this room, you all have Buddha nature, I was not sure I believed it. I said, sounds nice, but I don't see that when I look in the mirror. I don't see my Buddha nature in the mirror. I just see funny old me, all my faults, all my problems. That's all I see. But the teacher insisted, no, you all have Buddha nature. And if you work toward it and work with it, you will realize it and you will become a Buddha. So the function of teachers in the Tantrayana is to tell us about our Buddha nature and teach us how to bring it out and to realize it, so that we could even possibly attain Buddhahood in a single lifetime through these methods. So in the Hinayana and the Mahayana, the teacher is an important guide and example. And in the Vajrayana, you could say they introduce us to our Buddha nature directly through teaching us about mantra and teaching us about the nature of our mind through such practices as Mahamudra, which is the, I guess you could call it the family heirloom teaching of the Kagyu tradition. Maha means great, and mudra means seal, like the seal on a document, a seal of authenticity. And so when we practice Mahamudra, we are sealing our experience of this world with wisdom and emptiness, an understanding of wisdom and an understanding of emptiness. Emptiness here does not mean zero. Emptiness, His Eminence Taisi Trimbache says the word emptiness is a problem. He loves the English language. His English is impeccable. And he said, I have a problem with the word emptiness. He said, I know scholars have been using it for years. He said, but I don't like it so much. He said, because empty usually makes people think of zero or nothing. He said, whereas I like the word, he said, limitlessness. Our mind is without limitation. It has no color, no shape, no location, no beginning, no end. It is vast and limitless. He said, I like that word better. And how can we learn this? How can we learn mind's limitlessness? That's a little scary. We need a teacher for that. And this is the function of teachers in the Tantrayana or the Vajrayana. And so teachers become very important for us. And you could say that they are everything to us in the Vajrayana, because without them, we might make mistakes in our practice, because the teacher's role is to instruct and to inspire, but also to correct if we have misunderstandings or make mistakes in our study or our practice. As one teacher said to me, a book will never tell you you're making a mistake in your meditation. It will not tell you that your ego is getting too big and needs to be whittled down to a smaller size. A book will not tell you these things, but your teacher will. Your teacher will help you stay on the path and stay in a constructive frame of mind. So that is why teachers are so important. And so I named this topic today, the topic today is how to pray when your master passes away. This is because earlier, of course, you are aware, our master who founded our center, Kenpo Carter Rinpoche, passed away in October of 2019. And here we are in February of 2020, still working with the feelings that we all have about his loss. And it's so interesting because I decided to ask Kenpo Carter Rinpoche's nephew, Lama Karma Drodol, who is the president of our home monastery, Karma Triana Dharma Chakra, or KTD Monastery in Woodstock, New York. I asked him, well, you know, at the end of all of our practices, we pray for the long life of His Holiness the Karmapa, the head of our tradition, as well as for our master and all of the masters. What do we do now? How do we pray now that he has passed away? And we had received an instruction from one of the lamas to recite a prayer, a specific prayer of supplication to him. And so I decided today would be the day I would talk about this. And so I brought copies of the prayer, and I'm going to use the copy of this prayer to teach us a little bit about how we pray and why we pray to the masters. We're going to use the backside of this. It says the Lama Rinpoche Ma from the Rumtek English Nundro text. Back in the 1970s at Rumtek Monastery in the Sikkim, where His Holiness the 16th Karmapa settled after he went into exile from Tibet, the translator Sanjay Wangchuk, who ended up being the culture minister for the Kingdom of Bhutan, he served His Holiness as a translator, and he translated and created the first English language Nundro text under Karmapa's direction. And so many of us are fond of and familiar with Sanjay Wangchuk's translation. And so we're going to study that particular one today. Sometimes Tibetan prayers, the names of a Tibetan prayer has something to do with the first line of the prayer. And this is even true in the English language, because many people who grew up Christian are familiar with the prayer that is called the Our Father. Why? Because that is the first word. Those are the first two words of the prayer. And those of us who grew up Catholic are familiar with the Hail Mary because it starts that way. And so the Tibetans are exactly the same in that they use the opening words of a prayer to give it its name. This one is called the Lama Rinpoche Ma, and that is because the first words are Lama Rinpoche. And Lama means teacher, and Rinpoche means precious. La Sowadeb means I supplicate you, Sowadeb. And so that's the first line, Lama Rinpoche La Sowadeb. Dajin lo yi tongar jinji lo, yume Gula kewar jinjilob, chumin namto gakpar jinjilob, ransan keme topar jinjilob, trupar ransar jiwar jinjilob, nansi chukur topar jinjilob. So this prayer, the seven line prayer, was used and put into the Nundro text, the Mahamudra Nundro text, by the ninth Karmapa many centuries ago. And so this prayer is familiar to anyone who has practiced this part of the Nundro, the Mahamudra Nundro. But for the rest of us who aren't as familiar with this practice, I thought it would be interesting to talk a little bit about the meaning of the words, and then we can learn to sing it together. The I remember, we were talking about Mahamudra. And what Mahamudra means, Maha means great and mudra means seal, like the seal of authenticity on the document. And it means learning how to meditate on our mind's nature itself. This is a very subtle point. And so this is why there is a nundro or preliminary that leads us up to that. And so when we are preparing to do that, we need help. Because we could make mistakes in trying to meditate on wisdom and emptiness. I think we could all make mistakes in that area. So this is why we ask the teacher for help. And what kind of help do we ask the teacher for? In this prayer, it says, Lama Rinpoche, I turn to you, meaning I'm no longer going to try to figure this out by myself. I need your help, teacher, in helping me understand what to do. A lot of my friends will be familiar with this idea from 12-step recovery programs that say, where one of the slogans says, all of my best thinking has put me in this predicament. All of my best thinking has brought me into this problem. And so meaning that maybe it's time to let someone else drive. And so all of these years I have spent in samsara, maybe it's time to follow somebody else. And so that's why the first line is, Lama Rinpoche, precious teacher, I turn to you. The second line is, bless me, that my mind gives up its ego clinging. If you remember from the teaching on the Four Noble Truths that we just gave, the Buddha said that clinging and fixation is the cause of all suffering. But what do we cling to the most? Ego, our self-concept. We cling to that more than anything. We follow that great American adage, that American slogan, my way or the highway, meaning that we tend to think of ourselves as being superior to others. And by thinking that we are superior to others, we cut off the possibility of having a true relationship with them. And so ego clinging is the first thing we're going to ask our teacher for help with. Help me, teacher. Help me, teacher, that my mind gives up its ego clinging. So we're going to the teacher very first thing and saying, excuse me, teacher, I have some faults. May I tell you about my faults? Yes, wonderful. Here is my biggest fault, my ego fixation. Please help me with the big ones. And then the little ones, okay, we'll work on them too. Then the second thing we ask the teacher for is not just to help give up ego fixation, which is the cause of suffering, but to cultivate contentment, which is the cause of happiness. So the third line says, bless me that contentment arises in my stream of being. By contentment, he's not saying, he's not meaning here that we become content with abusive behavior by others or this kind of thing. We're not talking about hurting ourselves here. We're talking about giving up the me, I, want tendencies of modern life and our own human ego. Because the Buddha said that when we get something that we like, we tend to want more of it. And then when we want more of it, we seek to get more of it. And then sometimes other people are in our way because they're standing between us and the thing we want. So we kind of push them aside sometimes nicely, sometimes not nicely. And in so doing, we create some negative relationships. And so if we could cultivate a feeling of contentment, then this would be beneficial and help be a cause of happiness for us. So not only are we showing our guru our faults, we're showing our guru our possibilities. Bless me that contentment arises in my stream of being. Then what gets in our way of developing contentment? Selfish thoughts. And so then the fourth line is, bless me that non-dharmic thoughts may cease. Non-dharmic means selfish thoughts, such as I am better than others, or that person doesn't deserve that, or I deserve that instead of this person, and so forth and so on. Thoughts of harm for others or for ourselves. And then we ask the teacher to teach us the ultimate truth, which is in the next line, bless me that my mind be realized to be unborn and undying. The Buddha taught that our mind was not created by anyone and therefore has always existed from the no beginning of time and will always exist to the no ending of time. and that we merely go through series of experiences as we are working our way toward liberation from the suffering and pain of cyclic existence. So, bless me that I realize my mind to be limitless. Remember the Siddhi Rinpoche's word, limitless? Help me realize that my mind is unborn and undying, which is code for that my mind is limitless. Help me see the limitlessness of my mind. Bless me, the next line, bless me that illusion be at peace in itself. The illusion being the illusion of dualism, the illusion that I am separate from others, the illusion that I perhaps am better than others, the illusion of seeing the world as yes and no, black and white, and so on. Bless me that my illusions about how things are dispelled. One of my teachers said that we have a problem in that we try to do things that make us happy, but those things we try to do to make us happy usually only make us unhappy. And that there's an illusion in that that we need to relinquish. And so, bless me that illusion be at peace in itself means may I see my awakened mind at all times, even in the midst of my mistakes. May I see my potential for waking up in every moment. May I see that in every moment. And then finally, may my illusions be at peace, but bless me that the mind in all its manifestations be realized to be the Dharmakaya. It's, in other words, may I realize my Buddha nature. May I realize my wisdom mind. May I realize that everything, when I'm not clinging to it, everything has the potential to wake me up to the true nature of all reality. So this prayer is a very powerful way of reminding us of the important practices to do, which is to let go of ego clinging, to practice contentment, to practice ethical behavior, to practice an understanding of mind and how it is, and to help our mind to be at peace and realize its Buddha nature. So these are the things we're asking the teacher for. And so this prayer is a fantastic prayer to do, to remember our teacher. When I was learning Dharma from Kempo Carter Rinpoche, he described the three kinds of teacher. There is the outer teacher, the inner teacher, and the most inner. Some people call it secret, but I like most inner better. The outer teacher is the human being who gives us teachings. And we respect the outer teacher because their teachings help to liberate us. The inner teacher is how we internalize those lessons, our remembrance of our teacher's words and our following of our teacher's instructions. In a way, you remember a few weeks ago, I talked about Kempo Rinpoche saying to me one time, I'm never separate from you. And I said, how can I be your student? You live 600 miles away from me at the monastery. How is it possible? And he said, I am always with you. The inner teacher, which is our memory of that teacher and our respect for the teacher, even when they're not present, is the inner teacher, how we internalize their methods, how we internalize their lessons, and how they return to us again and again. That's the inner teacher, our internalization of what the teacher gives us. And then the most inner teacher is our awakened nature itself. Right now, I remember the previous Kelo Rinpoche giving a teaching on this now. He said, we all have Buddha nature, but it's not realized yet. So even though our inner Buddha nature is our ultimate refuge and our ultimate teacher, we can't exactly take refuge in our Buddha nature yet because we're still confused about what our Buddha nature is. But that, in essence, is our most inner teacher, is our own awakened nature, which will show itself if we practice. And it will show itself as we practice and follow our teacher's instructions. So that's a little bit about the three types of teacher. And we can use this prayer to call on all of them. So I'm going to now give a short instruction on chanting this prayer, because we're going to start chanting this prayer as part of our weekly chant meditations. If any of you have attended our Chenrezig chant or our Tara chant or our Medicine Buddha chant, At the conclusion of these chants, we chant in the Tibetan language the prayers for the long lives of our teachers. And in place of Kempo Carter Rinpoche's prayer, our longevity supplication is we're going to recite this, Lama Rinpoche Ma, to remember him. I think I'm going to share something else before we do the chanting. Interestingly enough, it was as though we had a little bit of good luck, because I planned a few weeks ago to do this teaching, and interestingly enough, yesterday His Holiness the 17th Karmapa gave a talk that was broadcast at our annual international prayer festival called the Munlam, which takes place in Bodh Gaya in India, where the historical Buddha attained enlightenment. And he spoke about, the Karmapa actually spoke about Kempo Carter Rinpoche during this talk. And I'm going to read you just that section of the talk where he spoke about Rinpoche. Now, this was translated by Lama Lodro Lamo, the women's retreat master at our three-year retreat center at Karmaling. This is one version of the English. There will be other versions of this, but this is the first draft. Here's what the Karmapa said. Following the direction of the supreme victor, the great 16th Karmapa, Kempo Carter Rinpoche worked day and night spreading the Dharma after arriving at Karma Triana Dharma Chakra. He established a retreat center, and wherever he went, he taught the Dharma and the excellent path. His great accomplishments in the teachings surpassed most tulkus, which are reincarnate masters, in modern times. Therefore, coinciding with the ceremony of offering to the gurus during this Kajumunlam Chenmo, this prayer festival, vast offerings were made and aspiration prayers were offered to the two holy Rinpoches who have passed into peace, that their intentions be fully fulfilled. So every year at the end of the big prayer festival, there's always a food offering, a vast offering of flowers and food and so forth. And it's made in gratitude to all the teachers. And at this particular the Kempo Carter Rinpoche and another Kaju master who had passed away this year, they were both honored with comments. And then Kempo Rinpoche's discussion by His Holiness Karmapa about the two Rinpoches ends with advice about how we should practice now that our teachers have passed away. So here's Karmapa's advice. The main thing is we should all supplicate the guru without forgetting them. Practice their teachings without forgetting them. If we can benefit others without forgetting sentient beings, we fulfill our guru's intentions, will achieve Buddhahood, and can repay the kindness of sentient beings. And so this was what Karmapa, this was his advice. So he said, supplicate the guru and ask for blessings without forgetting about the teacher. So in other words, in order to not forget the teacher, supplicate the teacher. Practice the teachings that the teacher gave without forgetting those teachings either. So that's the second thing. Remember the teacher through supplication. Practice what the teacher gave you. And then don't forget other sentient beings. In other words, think unselfishly and wish for the benefit of all beings, no matter who they are. Don't forget them. Continue to do what we can to benefit ourselves and others so that we can achieve Buddhahood. He said, if we help sentient beings, we fulfill our guru's wish, we achieve Buddhahood, and then repay the kindness of all sentient beings who have, the teachings say that all sentient beings, even the ones we casually pass in the street, have probably been our parents in a previous lifetime. So we need to show them kindness. And then to this advice, Lama Karma, Kempo Karpa Rinpoche's nephew, said, "Therefore, we students should supplicate our guru without forgetting him, practice his teachings without forgetting them. Without forgetting sentient beings, in order to benefit others, we should continue to maintain our retreats and our Dharma centers and increase our individual practice for the sake of the teachings and for sentient beings." So, in other words, the best way to remember our teacher is to practice and to work toward the liberation of ourselves and others. So anyhow, that's my by giving you Karmapa's advice, that's where we'll stop with this part of the presentation. And then to conclude, I'm going to teach you a little bit about how to chant this. I'm going to chant it through one time, and then we can chant it together. This melody will be familiar to anybody who is familiar with the other Tibetan prayer, calling the guru from afar. This is the melody that is used in the second half of that prayer. Let's see if I can remember it now. Lama Rinpoche la so hua deb da zin lo yi tong wa jin ji lo gu me gyu la ke wa jin ji lo chi min nam to ka par jin ji lo ram sing ke me to par jin ji lo tru paran sar ji wa jin ji lo nan si chu ku to par jin ji lo nan si chu ku to par jin ji lo. So you notice I recited the last verse two times. I did this to fulfill the melody because the melody has more lines in it than the prayer does. The melody, as you can hear, Lama Rinpoche la so hua deb, first line, La da jin lo yi tong wa jin ji lo, next line, Chi min nong to ka par jin ji lo, so you see that there's four lines to the melody. The melody is four lines, but there are only seven lines in the prayer. So when we recite this at KTC, you will have two choices. One choice will be to repeat, to recite the prayer just one time and repeat that last line twice to satisfy the melody, or to recite the entire prayer four times, which is how many times it will take to rotate through the entire melody. For example, if you say, Nansi chu, let's see, wait, Nansi chu ku to par jin ji lo, Nansi chu ku to par jin ji lo, Lama Rinpo che la so wa dip. So then it'll take four recitations of the entire seven line prayer in order to get through the melody. And so the people who are leading the chant will either recite this prayer one time or four times, depending on how much time they have. That's a little bit about it. So I think we have just a few minutes left because I was asked to conclude a little bit early today, so I apologize. There will not be a question and answer today, but we will recite this prayer four times. So let's give it a try. Okay, thinking that you are in the presence of all of the great masters of our tradition, the Buddha and everyone down to your personal teachers, thinking that they are in your presence or you are in their presence, supplicate them by reciting this prayer. O Lama Rinpoche la so hua deb, da jin lo yi tong hua jin ji lo, gu me ju la ke hua jin ji lo, chi min nam to kak pa jin ji lo. Ransim ke me to par jin ji lo, trpa ran sar ji war jin ji lo, nan si chu ku to par jin ji lo, lama rinpoche la so wa deb. Dajin le yi tong war jin ji lob, ge mek yu la ke war jin ji lob, che min nam to ka par jin ji lob, ran sem ke me to par jin ji lob, true paran sar ji war jin ji lob, nan si chu kur to par jin ji lob, Lama Rinpoche La Soha Deb Dajin Lo Yi Tong War Jin Ji Lob Gyume Gyula Ke War Jin Ji Lob Chimin Nam Toka Par Jin Ji Lob Ran sem ke me to par jin ji lob, tru paran sar ji war jin ji lob, nan si chu kur to par jin ji lob, lama rinpoche la so hwa deb, Dajin lo yi tong war jin ji lob, gyume gyula ke war jin ji lob, chimin nam toka par jin ji lob, chuparan sar ji war jin ji lob, Nancy Chukuto Parjinji. I skipped one. Nancy Chukuto Parjinji Lob. Oh, well, it just goes to show I need more reading glasses. Thank you for that. Like, whoopsie. Okay. So I want to thank you for your attention today and for coming with me on this little journey to learning about teachers. People sometimes say to me, I don't have a teacher, so like, who do I pray to? And I say, well, you know, pray to the Buddha, because the Buddha was our original teacher. And that will be what you can do between now and when you get a teacher of your own. So let's sit quietly and dedicate the goodness of this session. We dedicate the goodness of this session to all sentient beings. May they come to happiness and to Buddhahood. And coming to Buddhahood, may they emanate in all directions and benefit sentient beings without limit. We'll recite the dedication of merit prayers on the backside of this. We'll recite both of them in English. Starting with the words, by this merit. By this merit, may all attain omniscience. May it defeat the enemy, wrongdoing, from the stormy waves of birth, old age, sickness, and death. From the ocean of samsara, may I free all beings. The courageous Manjushri, who knows everything as it is, Samantabhadra, who also knows in the same way, and all the bodhisattvas that I may follow in their path, I completely dedicate all this virtue. Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for this week's Dharma Talk. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you did, please subscribe, rate, and review it on iTunes. To learn more about the Columbus Karma Teksum Choling or to donate to support our Dharma Talk series, please visit our website at columbusktc.org. The opening and closing music for the podcast is Tibetan Flute Song by Tamding Arts at tamdingarts.com. Please join us again next week for another Dharma Talk.